unplug, and reconnect. Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. During Lent, the church invites us to withdraw from a few of our normal patterns of consumption so that we can feast on the bread of heaven. We're invited to withdraw from a few of our normal activities so that we can spend a little extra time on spiritual exercises and we can strengthen our relationship with God. So we have an opportunity to withdraw from some of the things we normally think about, to focus our thoughts and feelings on the ministries that God has called us to fulfill. This is how Jesus prepared for his ministry. And we are the beneficiaries of the time that he spent in the wilderness. During the Epiphany time, we had the lectionary readings on the various subjects that we covered, but one that we skipped was this time in the wilderness. We went from the baptism to the miracle at Cana to Nazareth, and on to Transfiguration. So today we go back to the baptism for the first Sunday in Lent, to the event that happened when Jesus was baptized and then the Spirit led him out into the wilderness for 40 days. Sometimes we need to do that ourselves, don't we? Go back to our baptism and remember. Let's remember what we believe and why we believe. Let's remember what we received. Forgiveness and acceptance, empowerment of the Holy Spirit, the gifts and calling to join Jesus in ministry. Let's remember our covenant and our commitment that we made. We have a reminder that Jesus gave in Revelation chapter 2. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles, and are not, and hast found them liars, and is born, and hast patience, and for my name's sake is labored, and is not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come quickly unto thee, and will remove thy candlestick out of this place, except thou repent. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Let us remember our first love, amen. Let us remember what we told Jesus when our relationship started. Let's remember what our collective purpose is as this church. And let's remember how it felt when we got saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. Let's remember what it means to be a Christian. It means we're saved. We're rescued from the past, forgiven and accepted. It means we're protected in the present, safe to live freely and fully and live a meaningful life, fulfilling the call that God has invited us to join him in. It means we're preserved for the future, for eternal life in heaven, in this life and in the life of the world to come. It means we're sanctified. We are walking in that light of the Word of God, following Jesus and trying to put his teachings into effect in our own lives. We're being changed from glory into glory till in heaven we take our place and God's love is being perfected in our hearts. It means we're filled with the Holy Ghost. When John baptized, he said his baptism with water was a sign that pointed to one that would follow after him, to Jesus, who baptizes with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Jesus promised the Comforter who would guide us and teach us and empower us. And Paul wrote that the same Spirit that was at work to raise Jesus from the dead is working in us, in you and in me, to bring our lives to life. In this passage, the Spirit drove Jesus into the wilderness immediately after his baptism for a time of fasting and prayer in preparation for his ministry. Fasting isn't a very comfortable word by its nature, because it means backing off from things that we wouldn't back off from because we want them. In the Bible, there's a lot of ways that fasting is presented. The 40 days fast of Moses and Elijah and Jesus were not that common. That's a pretty intense way, but they had a pretty intense calling and mission that they were called to. There are a variety of other fastings for all kinds of purposes, but I'd like to share what God said through the prophet Isaiah. In other words, this is like a small piece of God's mind on the subject of fasting as he spoke through this prophet in Isaiah 58. This is a little piece of it. Behold, you fast for strife and debate, and to smite with the fist of wickedness. You shall not fast as you do this day to make your voice to be heard on high. Is it such a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush, and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast, an acceptable day to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? And when thou seest the naked, and thou cover him, that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh, then shall the light break forth as the morning, and thy health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, Here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger and speaking vanity, if thou draw out thy soul unto the hungry, and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and the darkness be as the noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones. And thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water, whose waters fail not. And they shall be of thee built the old waste places. And thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. And he goes on. We have traditional fasts that the church has recommended in different ways throughout the year and in certain seasons. But in Matthew chapter 6, where Jesus gave the Lord's Prayer, he gave some instructions on prayer and fasting and almsgiving, where he said that openly, the reward, when we do these things openly, then the reward is that everybody is impressed with how religious we are. But when we do them in secret, the reward is that we strengthen our personal friendship with Almighty God. And he gives us that choice, whatever we want to do. This is how Jesus prepared for ministry and invites us to prepare also for what he's laid out and invited us to be a part of. The temptations were answered by quoting scripture. Turn stone into bread, the devil said. Jesus said, it is written, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that cometh from God. Worship the devil, and he will give you the world. And Jesus said, it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Throw yourself down from the temple, the devil said. Prove that God will send angels to catch you. And Jesus said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. So this is how we unplug fasting. We could call fasting unplugging. Withdraw from some of our normal activities to enable a greater focus on spiritual renewal. Consumption, that is bread, the first temptation. We can select for exclusion from those things that do not contribute to our health and welfare in the things that we consume, as food and clothing and shelter and other things that we consume. In our activities, in this passage, the third temptation was to throw down himself from the temple. That's not a very good activity. It's the second temptation in Matthew's presentation of this event. We select from exclusion those activities that don't contribute to fulfilling the responsibilities and obligations and commitments that we have. Our thoughts and feelings are, as it came in the second temptation in this passage, or the third in Matthew, worship, false worship. We are invited to exclude some of those things that do not contribute, those thoughts and feelings that do not contribute to our relationships and our communication and our spiritual renewal. Jesus warned that all of our sins come from the way we think and feel. Here's an alternative way that the Bible encourages us to adopt, an alternative way of thinking. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. So after we unplug, we also want to do some reconnecting too. We're never fully really disconnected from God because of His grace that won't let us go. But as the years go by, or even as the weeks sometimes and months go by, we might have a tendency to get bogged down with the things that clutter our lives and distract us from what is most important. And so we can have some intentional disciplines. We can have devotions and inspiration and spiritual exercises to help us plug back in to what's most important to us, what we want the most, that sometimes we've let get away from us. And then we re-engage. After this period of Lent is over in 6 weeks, and we come to Holy Week, and we come to Easter, and we celebrate the resurrection, we'll be turning our thoughts to in other directions, as Jesus did when His period of testing and tempting in the wilderness was over. In Matthew 4 and in Mark 1, the Bible tells in this event how after Jesus had overcome these temptations, the devil left Him alone. And then angels came and helped Him. James wrote, resist the devil and he will flee you. And then back to our passage in Luke, the Bible says that after all of these things, Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. That's our goal, isn't it? Amen? That's our goal, to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. We want to accomplish great things in the name of Jesus. We want to continue His mission to preach and to heal and to liberate, as He declared in Nazareth. We want to be a part of the rolling out of the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven in our generation, as it has in the past and will in the future, as He taught us in the Lord's Prayer that we prayed a while ago and that we pray often. We want to help each other and our family and friends and the people of our generation to discover and explore and enjoy the eternal divine nature of God and the kingdom of God that is at work within us and among us. So here is our Lenten invitation today. Repent and believe the gospel. Remember that thou art dust, and unto dust thou shalt return. Repent and believe the gospel. True confession is when we face ourselves honestly in God's presence, the good and the bad, and then we receive the forgiveness and acceptance that He offers us, when He promises to cast away from us all of our sins as far as the east is from the west, to bury them in the deepest sea, never to be remembered against us ever again. And He invites us to change, that repentance is to change, to lay aside the weight that may hold us back and to run with confidence the race that lays before us. Paul wrote this to the Romans. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. In the name of Jesus, amen.